Our study tonight is out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, identifying and shielding our spirits from satanically fueled dangerous people. Sounds like an interesting topic. Believe it or not, I've used this passage many, many, many times. In fact, this page in my original study Bible, which I use the original study Bible that I have because my memory work is all on, I know on the page where everything's at. The pages are actually yellow from soaking up the oil in my hands, but I use them. This is a very important passage. Though church leaders and all who disciple must not fellowship with false teachers, sometimes those with false doctrine aggressively challenge God's true disciples who hold to the truth. Now, sometimes these are not only false teachers, sometimes these can be just regular people, but they're people who are actually influenced by Satan to conflict and to counter what the discipler is trying to do. Now, this can be the discipler can be a parent trying to disciple children, or a husband with a wife, or it could be church leaders, pastors. It could be a business leader seeking to disciple people who are under him. It could be any kind of a discipling context. This challenge is spiritually dangerous, as opposition to true disciples is backed by Satan. We studied that last week in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 to 26. Those who oppose disciples are actually taken captive by Satan to do his will. So disciples need to be able to identify the characteristics of such people and know how to shield themselves from their spiritual harm. And insight at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 to 9 invaluably provides for us. So we're into this passage and we're going to look at it and see exactly what it has to say. Let me start reading the passage and then we'll look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. This also know that in the last days, in the last days, this is the last days of church era history, and we're seeing this with increasing frequency. Perilous or hard times will come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, slanderous or blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, which means lacking self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, which is another word for reckless, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having an external form of godliness but denying the spiritual dynamics thereof. From such shrink yourself back. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women who are laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and yet never able to acknowledge the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so also do these men resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Okay. We know from viewing 2 Timothy 2:25 and 2 Timothy 3:8 in the context that the characteristics of bad people that are listed in 2 Timothy 3:2-8 that we just read describe those who will oppose true believers by satanic influence up to the end of the church era. You'll remember verse 26 said they're taken captive by Satan to do his will. And then in verse 8 of chapter 3, these men opposed Moses. So these are people who oppose disciples, and they oppose disciples under the influence of Satan. But it really helps us to have a character profile of people who are like this. And I've taken the liberty to look at the Greek New Testament and to translate these descriptive words that I've given in the grocery list right out of the Greek, and it's a little more, it has greater clarity so we can understand it. So we view the characteristics of Satan-influenced foes to true disciples to identify them. Now, these are not people who are demon-possessed. A demon-possessed person is an entirely different situation. A demon-possessed person will often speak in a different voice, higher or lower. There'll be a lot of coughing that is involved. They'll be fierce and so forth. These are people who are influenced by Satan. In other words, they're influenced through their sin nature and through their lusts and so forth to act with specific behaviors. Okay, what is the first one? The first word is translated lovers of themselves. It's the Greek word philautos. Phil is from the word philos, meaning the love or emotional characteristic love. Autos is of oneself. So these are selfish people. an unusually selfish person or a consistently selfish person who opposes a disciple is a person who has been influenced by the evil one. Satan is very, very selfish himself. Then they will love money, philarguros. Phila is the love of, and arguros is money. This is not necessarily greed in the sense of aggressive greed, but it's a tendency towards miserliness, hoarding. That's something that is often influenced by the evil one. Then they will be boastful. Alazan is the word to be boastful. And then they will be arrogantly lifting themselves above others. Huperphanos. Huper means above. And phanos is to blow or to move. So these are people who arrogantly lift themselves above others. People like this, and the proud is translated that way, these are people who will put down other people. This is very typical of in a verbal or abusive relationship, they will do this. So we have to watch out for people who arrogantly lift themselves above others. Then they will be abusive in speech. The word blasphemous is actually the Greek word blasphemos, but it means technically abusive in speech. Abusive in speech, normally we apply this to blasphemy against God, and that is abusive in speech when we say little things or we say bad things about God. But this is slandering any person abusively, and we have to watch out for this. Then they will be disobedient to parents. Now, this is an amazing word. Ganousin is the word for parents. Apathēs is disobedience. We often don't think of this as something that is satanically inclined, but it is. Many years ago, my mother was trying to put my youngest, my middle brother, to sleep. He was just a little toddler. She had him in a crib, one of these floor cribs. She tried to get him, tried changing his diaper and everything, and he was just restless constantly. Well, at that particular time in the village next to the compound where we were at, in the African village, they were undergoing a witchcraft practice, and every year they would have a child become demon-possessed. And my mother suddenly sensed that there was probably spiritual activity, and she said, I had a very strong desire and drive just to take the back of my hand and swing it across my child's mouth. Now, he was a young child. He didn't want to hurt him, but in a motive of rebuke. And so she did. And my brother looked extremely startled, and then he suddenly lay down and went sound asleep. It was over with. And she was convinced that it was angelic conflict issues that we were facing. We were facing troubles and because of what was going on. Of course, the evil one would want to plague the missionary child more than anything because then he could stop the work. But we had to watch out for this whenever they would have their special harvest meals or when they would have these witchcraft activities in the village, in the pagan village. We had to be very, very on guard and very watchful for what was going on. There was another case where missionaries, the witch doctor didn't want them to get out and to testify the gospel, so he called all sorts of poisonous serpents, and they came and they surrounded the house and they were all coiled up. So the missionaries had to pray, and when they prayed, the serpents went away back into the jungle. So this type of thing has happened, and it's very real. So we have to watch out. Disobedience to parents, and this can often get into disobedience, can be disobedience to church leaders, which is a flagrant disobedience or disobedience in the marketplace, the workplace of an employee and so forth. So we need to watch that. Then they will be unthankful, actually is the word ungrateful, akaristos. Then they will be unholy. Unholy is the word anosias, which means without separation from sin. A person who notoriously is not separate from sin is in this category. They will be unloving, astorgos, which is a heartlessness. And 1 Timothy 3:3, without natural affection, unloving. And then truce breakers, this means that they will be absolutely irreconcilable. Aspondas is a person who absolutely refuses to let bygones be bygones and to make up. They will hold a grudge from now until eternity, kind of a thing. That's typical of the people who are influenced by Satan. And then diabolos, from which you get the word diabolical or devil, is the word slanderous. False accusers. These are people who will seek to undermine the reputation of another individual. Then they are without self-control. Akrates. Krates means to rule. A means without rule. And it's without self-rule. And we need to watch out. People who are notoriously lacking in self-control are people who often are influenced by Satan. And then the word anemeros means brutal or savage. They'll get into a fight and they'll just do the horrible things. It's amazing. Then not loving the good, aphil agathos. These people don't have a desire for good manners. They have absolutely no love for decent, that which is decent and that which is good in the culture. They just don't. And that's typical of satanic behavior. Traitors, prototes, is a person who's a traitor to his country, but this can be a traitor, someone who turns on someone and hurts them, and maybe even family members, that type of a thing. And then prophetess, and verse 4b, is rash or reckless. I remember years ago we had a young person, a teenager, who got in here and started running across the tops of the pews, right on these things here, up back and forth, and just hollering and have, and that was, you know, very rash behavior, very odd and strange and very destructive. So we had to correct that. But that was a signal that there's something spiritually that's really wrong. And then puffed up in deceited conceit, tuphomai, and 4C, means that they have a conceit that is false. They have a false view of themselves, and they're puffed up about it. That self-delusion is very typical of satanic behavior. And then they love pleasure versus loving God. We've got a lot of people in that category in America today. But love for God has been replaced by loving sheer pleasure. And then they have a form of godliness, but they deny the true spiritual dynamics thereof in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the dunamis, or the dynamite of the spiritual power. There are many churches that are full of people like this. They have a ritualism, but they don't trust the power of the Spirit of God at all. Then they manipulate their way. This is verse 6. They manipulate their way into homes and take captive weak-willed women who are burdened with sins and led astray by various passions. This is especially true of cults. Cults will worm their way into homes and seek to captivate women in particular and sway them. And a lot of the major cults in America were started and ruled by women, which is very interesting. So we need to be very careful of this. The Shakers, Christian Science, and so forth, these were heavily influenced by women. So we have to watch this, and the false teachers who are influenced by the evil one will do this. They'll manipulate their way into various homes. Then they always learn, but they never acknowledge the truth. Verse 7, ever learning, yet never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Okay, those are 21 descriptions. That should give a pretty fair picture. Now, the question is, how do we respond to people like this? Because remember, we're dealing with someone who has been influenced by Satan, and the Bible never commands us to go after Satan. We're always supposed to look for God's help when we're running into people who are influenced by Satan. Well, there are two verses here that deal with this. The first one is in verse 5. The last part of verse 5, from such turn away. Disciples must turn away from or avoid. This is the Greek word apotrepo, from such people, and it's in the middle voice. It means for their own spiritual welfare and for their own protection, they need to shrink back. As a pastor, I've run into situations like this, and there were times when I would try to head people like this off at the pass, and I got into difficulty every single time I did. It only made matters worse. What I had to do, what I had to learn to do, is to wait until the ball got into my court. So I had to back off and wait until a situation came specifically within my area of jurisdiction where there was no question but that I had to do something. And then when I did it, in faith in the Lord, then the Lord would bless. But if I went out of my way to try and intercept them, got into trouble every time. The point is, you have to shrink back for your own benefit. And that's the first thing we do. Then disciples must leave such troubling parties for their own folly to expose themselves, trusting God's sovereign oversight to protect the church from destruction by these parties. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall become manifest unto all men, even as theirs also was. We have to trust the sovereignty of Jesus Christ in the discipling process, whether it's a church, whether it's a family. And we have to shrink back, but leave such troubling follies for their own folly to expose themselves. Now, obviously, in a situation, if this is occurring and it's a parent has to assume responsibility, then the parent, obviously, that is in the parent's ball court, and they have to take the bull by the horns, supposedly. But I'm talking about in a church setting, or in a business situation where there's another adult that's involved and you don't have that right and that jurisdiction as a parent to deal with, and you have to wait until the situation develops and the Lord allows the situation to develop to the point where you can handle it yourself. So satanically influenced foes of true disciples bear the troubling traits listed above, and as true disciples identify them, they must avoid such foes to let God use their own folly to discredit themselves. So may we disciples heed 2 Timothy 3, 1-9 for blessing if facing satanically influenced foes. Many years ago, I was facing a situation. We had an individual. We heard some news of a man who had gotten injured. This was during the adult Sunday school class. And I felt very badly about it. And in retrospect, if I had to do it, we would have stopped and prayed on the spot. But I was fairly new to the ministry here, and I didn't think of that. Well, after the adult Sunday school class, a person came up, and they were absolutely beside themselves with fury at me because I had not led the Sunday school class to stop and pray. And this person decided to accost me right here. I had my stand here and so forth, and this went on. And as this person was speaking, I suddenly realized this is satanic, because it came right out of the blue. There was no discussion. They hadn't even raised their hand and asked, could we pray for this or something? So I immediately recognized it was satanic, so I thought, well, all I can do is handle this God's way. And when the person finished speaking, because they had to take a breath, then I said, well, thank you for your opinion, and let it go. And then they went off. And I committed it to the Lord right away. After the morning worship service that Sunday, the person came up and apologized. They said, you know, I was out of line. I recognize it in retrospect. I was way out of line. I should have said something earlier and whatnot. And I said, that's fine. No problem. I forgive you and all that kind of a thing. But it was that type of a situation. I faced that kind of a thing a number of times over the years, and I've learned it's like playing tennis. If you take your racket and you swing your racket over the net, and it breaks the line, you lose the point, even if you hit the ball home, simply because you're not supposed to do that. On the other hand, if you wait until the ball is in your court and you're on your side of the net and you hit the ball, you're safe. And I've learned through this, you have to make sure that you're in your court. Make sure you're in your area of biblical jurisdiction where the battle is coming into your realm. Then you can handle it within the jurisdiction that God has you in. Gives you, and then you've got victory. If you step out of it, you're in trouble. But we have to remember, these people who have these influences, they're influenced, these characteristics, in a notable way, and they're blocking the discipling process. They're influenced by Satan, so you have to think in terms of, okay, this is Satan that is behind this. How am I supposed to respond? And if you respond with great care, the evil one knows you're on him. You get the Lord involved, and then the Lord goes to bat for you. If you take it on yourself, you're going to get crushed. I mean, emotionally, mentally, it's going to be absolutely draining. So may God help us as we utilize this information for the Lord's glory.